Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@mail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those vlogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays. You can look for something new popping up over there tomorrow. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Drunk Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with freezing.
All right, Dan. So, you know, next week we're going to roll out all the baseball awards. And I got to tell you, you know, we're like 6 days away, and I'm already pissed off. And I'm probably going to be even more pissed off next week. Now, Monday, we're going to roll out Rookie of the Year. A week from today is Manager. Then Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, is Cy Young. And then, of course, November 15th, we're going to get the MVP. And now, since they've merged this with TV, we have to have three finalists, Dan. Good Lord, we need three guys we can put on TV. And, you know, I'm okay with all that. Until I came across the finalist for AL MVP. And I know the voting is already in. That's how they got the three finalists. These are the top three vote getters. So I believe everybody at the Baseball Writers Association of America should no longer have a vote because you're obviously too incredibly stupid to have this privilege. So, Dan, here are the finalists for AL MVP. Mookie Betts, no surprise of the Red Sox. Jose Ramirez of the Indians, and of course, man, we couldn't have a freaking MVP vote without Mike Trout, could we?
Of course not, even though J.D. Martinez was much better.
Right, so we get this piece of crap from an 80 and 82 team because, Dan, he had a career high in OPS and on-base percentage. And his team sucks. So Martinez doesn't make the cut. Even though, remember, all they said in 2017 was how the Red Sox needed a power hitter to be successful. They got one, won 108 games, and a damn World Series. And then, Dan, you can't sit here and tell me that with the injuries the Astros went through, they would have been able to hold off Oakland if Alex Bregman hadn't played the way he played. There's absolutely no reason he should not be a top three MVP candidate. And I don't care what you idiots out there think, Trout is five. He is easily number five on this list, no questions asked. He doesn't belong in the damn top three, and I'm sick and tired of you idiots doing that. All right, stop ruining the damn game, and let's watch guys play on the field where it makes a difference, and we don't look at stupid numbers and go, oh, well, these numbers say that this guy is this and this guy is that. His team is 80 and 82, and they didn't sniff the damn playoffs. All right? So get your head out of your ass. Learn how to watch baseball. Learn how to vote for awards. Understand what an MVP is before you start putting a ballot out there. Morons. I've been listening to it all day on the MLB Network, Dan, I literally ready to kill somebody. And this is just the start of it. So, you know, and if you think I'm wrong, fight me. Oh, sorry.
Be careful, he'll sit on you. He sat on me once.
Yeah. And seriously, if you're out there and you don't agree with me, 646-478-3753. sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. I'll take on any and all conversations you want to try to hit me with about Mike Trout. The bottom line is you're 80-82. You're not a playoff team. Alex Bregman led his team to a playoff. Jose Ramirez led his team to a playoff. Granted, he had a little bit of a break because he's in an easy division. You know, all I heard is everybody cry, well, you know, the Red Sox missed David Ortiz. They don't have that prime power hitter in the middle of the lineup. So they spent about a bunch of money on Jason Martinez, went to the playoffs. He didn't make it into the MVP voting. You know, at least Mookie Betts did. And Betts will win this award. There's no doubt about it. You know, Trout will probably finish second, and then we'll get to listen to everybody go, well, you know, he finished, look at how he finished second again. You know, that's the seventh time in like 8 years he finished in second place. So, yeah, you know, shine it up real nice, turn it sideways, stick it straight up where we're at, okay? That's just where it belongs. He's got no business being in the top three. Sorry, I'm all fired up. I can't help it. It just ticked me off.
Oh, that's okay.
Was I wrong?
No,
you know, that's just the last award. You know, I got to wait till Thursday of next week before I can get even madder about it, depending on what goes on there. Because, dude, I'm telling you, if he wins, I'm driving to New Jersey. So I'm going to, yeah, I don't know, burn dude's 40-02 down or rip it to shreds or do something. But, you know, I figure if Ray Rice just got a third-degree misdemeanor for beating his fiance, you know, what could I get for ripping up with the MLB studios, right? You know, so. And that was in New Jersey, so that worked out.
Hey, that's what you got going for you.
Yeah, you know, and I, you know, now, of course, obviously, we got the rest of them here. I didn't have too much of a problem with the NL MVP. The final three are Nolan Arenado of the Rockies, Javier Baez of the Cubs, and Christian Yelich of the Brewers. I thought maybe Freddie Freeman would find his way in, though, but I don't have anything really negative here with these three. Did you see did we miss a National Leaguer? Was there somebody you thought should be in that wasn't?
No, Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah, you know, because I was kind of racking my brain, and I was just kind of like, well, maybe Freeman. You know, obviously, I know he's, you know, he had a good year, and you know, the Braves came out of nowhere. So I was kind of like, okay, you know, maybe he would deserve to be in the top three, but you know, he'll probably end up four. So you know, we'll see. I am interested, really interested here, Dan, to see how kind of this AL Cy Young shakes out. Because the three finalists end up being Corey Kluber, who I actually didn't realize was a 20-win guy this year. Blake Snell, who was, you know, ended up with 21 wins and then that low ERA. And then Justin Verlander is the third guy who had the big strikeout totals and I think may have led the – either was second in the AL in innings or first. So I'm interested to see, you know – I worry that the voting is kind of sabermetrically cheated, everybody's going to kind of smell. But again, you know, we're looking at a guy who was really pitching under no pressure because the Rays were never contenders behind the Yankees and the Red Sox. So, you know, you wonder if you would have put a little more pressure on him, would he have performed as well? You know, maybe he'd have performed better, maybe he'd have performed worse. Kluber and Verlander had to perform in pennant races. But yeah, I don't know. You know, the only other, do you know another American League pitcher? You know, I thought maybe Severino from the Yankees, but I know he had a bumpy second half, so I think that kind of disqualified him. I assume he's in the top five at least, but you know, do you think Diaz from Seattle gets any votes? You know, he had 50-plus saves. What do you have, 57, 58?
No, I think for a closer, you know, they've completely washed that out, and you need to be 60-plus.
Jeez. Oh. Yeah, and then, you know, nationally – Yeah, you know, National League Cy Young, this has all been decided, but there are three candidates. Again, everybody has decided that Jacob DeGrom wins this award, even though he was just 10-9 and his team sucked. Aaron Nola of the Phillies and Max Scherzer of the Nationals are the other two nominees. Again, no National League pitcher from a playoff team pitched well enough to finish in the top three of the Cy Young voting.
Well, you know what that, you know why that is.
They only pitched four innings before they were taken out of game? Oh.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think John Lester had the most wins of any of the, and I could be wrong, but I know his win total was up there, but it's hard to win games. It's hard to keep a low ERA when you give up one run, but, you know, you only pitch four innings.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing about those three pitchers is they all pitched over 200 innings. Try to go back to just regular stats, see where the pitchers lie.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, you know, by DeGrom getting his record over 500, that really clinches the award for him. You know, if he was 8-9 or 7-9 or something like that, there would probably be a little more argument about it. But now that he was 10-9 with the low ERA, and I've kind of pushed past the fact that, you know, he's going to win the award. I'm okay with this. But, yeah, you mentioned, you know, John Lester won 18 games for a playoff team. Kyle Freeland won 18 games for the Cardinals. Now, they didn't get in. Kyle Freeland did win 17 games with the Rockies. So, you know, those were, you know, some of the guys. And then we had three guys, Justine from the Brewers, Godley and Grinke all won 15 games with playoff teams. But, you know, like I said, this is, I don't even know, there's no real reason to argue with. They're DeGrom, right? I mean, no questions asked.
Yeah, well, you can't give Scherzer a third one in a row, can you?
No, but he probably deserves it. But, you know, out of those three. So, but all right, well, let's move on to some more stupidity here, Dan, as we get to American League Rookie of the Year, where we have two Yankees, no surprise, Miguel Andujar and Gleyber Torres. But you damn well know, Dan, the guy they're going to give it to is Shohei Ohtani. Because we've never seen anybody do what he does. So I'm guessing these guys who cover games never played Little League or high school baseball or anybody else because they've never seen a guy pitch and hit. So we'll just give him the award and, yeah. So, yeah, we're going to get another undeserved guy to win an award here, Dan.
I was trying to pull up the stats. I mean, did he even qualify technically?
Yeah, he played in 104 games. So I'm sure he qualified. This is one of those fun things that, you know, for whatever reason, he's just universally loved because he pitched and hit. You know, even though he did only pitch in, 10, 12 games or something like that before, you know, his arm blew out and, you know, he won't pitch next year. So, but, you know, none of that matters. All that matters, he's a phenom and he's going to win the award, even though I think we all know that Miguel Andujar should probably win it.
Oh, yeah. Miguel Andujar deserves it. He had 326 at bats, and I'm going back to Ohtani. But 93 hits, which, 61 RBIs, 22 home runs, that's 10 stolen bases. You know, that's probably why.
Yeah.
He also had 102 strikeouts, so he basically, in 104 games, struck out 102 times. His batting average was only 285, but his OPS was 925. So that's what did it right there, right?
So, yeah, and that's compared to Andujar, who played in 149 games. Hit 297, only struck out 97 times. So Ohtani struck out more than Andujar in, you know, Andujar had 573 at bat. So Ohtani struck out more than less at bats. 92 RBIs, 27 bombs, 47 doubles. And actually happened to play for a team that won 100 games, Dan, and went to the playoffs. Where was Ohtani while the playoffs were going on, Dan? Oh, yeah, he was back in Japan. That's right, watching baseball while the playoff teams were playing baseball.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe next year when the Angels sign Machado and Harper. But then
yeah, maybe they sign Harper and Machado. You know, maybe they'll finally win something and we can maybe see Mike Trout in the playoffs. Yeah, right. They still find a way to choke it on.
No, I mean, to me personally, I think the NL Rookie of the Year is probably the hardest to decide from. He's got three candidates.
Yeah, you really could give this to any guy, obviously. Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Braves, Walker Buehler of the Dodgers, and then Juan Soto of the Nationals. You know, if you count it postseason with the way Buehler pitched, he'd probably run away with it, but that doesn't count. It's just regular season statistics. I really think you could put him in any order here, and you would be fine, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, that'll be the one award where when they announce it, I won't have a problem with it. You know, just be kind of like, oh, okay, cool. You know, that guy's gonna win it. So. And then, you know, when they do managers in the AL, it's Kevin Cash, Alex Cora, and Bob Melvin. I actually heard a couple people today thinking Bob Melvin is going to win this. Do you really think with the season the Red Sox had that Cora loses that award? I mean, the A's did have a great year, but, man, East Coast, Joey Cora, 108 wins, he's got to get it, right?
I would think so. I mean, yeah, of course, the A's are kind of the big surprise, but at the same time, Cora is a first-year coach. You know, to almost break that record that good old Lou Piniella put together back in, I don't remember what year it is, was it 2001 or 2004? So,
yes,
you know, I think it's one of the two. I don't remember. Pretty phenomenal job by Alex Cora. I think he deserves it all around.
Yeah, you know, and then the National League, it's Bud Black of the Rockies, Craig Counsell of the Brewers, and Brian Snitker of the Braves. You know, this is another one I think if you gave it to any one of those guys, I don't think I would have a problem with it. You know, I mean, do you got one above the other? I mean, I know the Braves were a surprise, but you could say the Brewers were a surprise too. I mean, nobody had them winning the division. So,
no, and I think that's why, with the way the season played out, I lean towards Craig Counsell. But I think that's also because we, you know, seen more.
Yeah.
Craig Counsell than the others.
Yeah. You know, I did hear, again, this morning when I was going through the stuff, a lot of people, on the Bud Black bandwagon, I wasn't on it as much as some people were, but, yeah, apparently there's a lot of – a lot of Bud Black supporters out there. I was a little surprised by that.
I mean, I can see it, but this team has kind of been here and there over the last several years. Has he been the manager that long? I don't even remember. I always forget about the Rockies.
Yeah, I don't know how long he's been there now. I mean, I'm sure we could, we could look it up. You know, it's odd because when I think of him, I just kind of think of him with the Padres. And because a lot of times I even forget that actually managing the Rockies. So, this was just his second year there. So. But, yeah, he spent, 8 years in San Diego, and then he was off a year, and then he
at
the Colorado job in 2017. So, but yeah, you know, not that all three of them didn't do a nice job. You know, again, that's another one of those awards. You know, if they say Snitger won or Black wins or
somebody can have their answer with that.
You know, that's no big deal. So. So yeah, you know, Dan, after my anger, I started to cry a little bit, Dan. I'm not afraid to admit it, because I came across this article talking about the title Mariners may tear down roster, start rebuild. Yeah, I couldn't handle it, Dan. It made me sad. I didn't know what to say or how to react, but you know, I don't believe that they'll be able to trade Robinson Cano even if they wanted to, because there's a boatload of money on that contract. You know, but we'll see if the, you know, Kyle Seegers and D. Gordons and, you know, I even heard somebody say that they might be willing to move James Paxton, even though I kind of thought he was going to future their rotation. But I guess, you know, I'm an idiot, and I don't know. You know, Dan, I don't know if I can go through a rebuild. I might have to find a new American League team. Maybe I'll start rooting for the Angels.
I mean, it's only 5 years, maybe even 10.
Yeah. So, what baffles me here, though, Dan, and again, you can help me out, is, you know, this team was close, even with the Cano suspension. They were a contender until probably about the last month. They kind of ran out of gas. But you know, obviously they're sitting on a lot of talent. Why rip this up? I mean, there is a chance the A's could have just been a one-year fluke, and you know, you'll have to compete against the Astros, who actually just announced today that Lance McCullers will miss all of next season because he's going to have elbow surgery. So, you know, that they're going to be one guy down, but. Yeah, why, you know, I mean, besides the old, well, you know, this is how everybody kind of does it excuse, why the hell do they want to do this?
Well, I think there's some toxicity in the locker room. You remember the Dean Gordon or the Gene Segura fight?
Yes, well, they should always fight. That's good.
But yeah, but, I mean, I don't think you need to tear down the team completely. You know, I think one of those individuals maybe needs to move on and get a fresh start. And sadly, I think it's time to move on. And well, I think it's time for the Mariners to do what the Giants did and move on from their ace. You remember, it was hard for us to let go of Timmy. And I think it's time for the Mariners to possibly look at moving on from the Kings.
Yeah, it as sad as it is to say, you know, it is looking like that time. I mean, he was 8-14 last year with a 5.55 ERA. You know, I guess the hardest part, of course, with the whole, you know, Felix thing is he's, you know, I don't think he's that old. You know, I mean, I know he logged a lot of innings and all that. Yeah, he's just 32. You know, he'll turn 33 before the season starts next year. He is signed, though, Dan, for 2 more years, so I don't know how they're going to get her. Actually, one officially. There's an option for 2020. So I don't know. Do they eat that last year? Let me see how much it's worth. Yeah, next year he's signed for $27.858 million, Dan. So I guess he's going to be on the team next year.
Maybe.
So, yeah. we'll we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, I don't know. I guess it's possible he could bounce back. Of course, if you're going to strip the team down and not score any runs, it doesn't matter who the hell's pitching. So. You know, but yeah, you know, kind of looking at it, I mean, if you ship Paxton off, you know, I'm going to guess Wade's not coming back because I think he's 45. You know, you're looking at Mike Leake, Marco Gonzalez, and Felix Hernandez as the top three in the rotation next year. Dan, I put a lot of confidence in that, buddy. That doesn't sound like a playoff contender.
No, it doesn't. Maybe you could trade everybody to the Angels. They need pitching.
You know, and obviously if you're rebuilding, you're not going to be throwing guys. So, you know, I don't know how that works out. I mean, I did see they wanted to keep Diaz as one of the guys they built around. It was Diaz, Mitch Haniger, and Marco Gonzalez were the guys they would like to build around. So I don't know. Yeah, I, you know, I don't know what the heck that means for everybody else, but yeah, it's gonna, you know, if they do that, yeah, it's gonna be ugly for a long time. You know, and I think Nelson Cruz is a free agent, so they could just kind of, you know, let him walk. I'm sure, you know, somebody will probably put D. Gordon. I mean, even though stolen bases aren't in vogue, you know, there's always kind of a spot for guys like that. But, yeah, I'm just not going to be able to deal with it, Dan. If they rebuild, I'm probably going to have a breakdown. So, it's not going to be.
You could actually watch their game next year.
Yeah, maybe. So,
you can pick the
you know, and, oh, and I just, yeah, you know, I'd probably have to go with, like, the Orioles or something, you know, this way I would just know they would be bad. I didn't see this earlier. Let's see if there's any numbers here. Here you go, Dan. Your guy, CeCe, agreed to a one-year, $8 million deal with the Yankees, of course, pending the completion of a physical. So you're going to get one more CC year. Thank you.
Now, do you think anyone will draft him but me next year?
No. No, you'll be the only one who drafts him. So I can guarantee that. And, you know, I meant to look at this one earlier. I saw six free agents who could sign early, and I was just dying to know who these six guys were and if they were of any real interest to us. All right, here you go, Dan. Six guys signing early. Craig Kimbrel, Nelson Cruz, J.A. Hopp, Nathan Eovaldi, Michael Brantley, and Wilson Ramos. I don't know, any kind of excitement there for you out of those six guys?
Oh, I think, I don't think Brantley's going back to Cleveland.
No. No, not if they're looking to cut payroll.
You know, Eovaldi interests me because obviously every team looks for pitching. So, you know, we've brought up the Angels a million times. Are they going to be a team that's looking at him for 3 years, 2 years with an option?
Yeah.
You know, they need to do something.
Yeah, you do wonder, you know, what they're going to, you know, what they're going to do. You know, they got to get pitching somehow. You know, I mean, if the Indians are willing to move Kluber or Carrasco, you know, that could be an answer. But I don't know if the Angels have the farm system. So, you know, because you got to think, I mean, if Kluber's really on the move, then wouldn't you go after him first instead of trying to sign somebody?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I was just trying to, can see how that would kind of work out with that. But, you just kind of wonder. And then, you know, the other thing I wanted to ask you, I heard this one too, and I really think this is just kind of stupidity on writers' parts because they're dying for, you know, to find a way to make Bryce Harper a Yankee. Do you buy any of this at all, that the Yankees would actually trade Giancarlo Stanton, who, by the way, has a no-trade clause, to make room to sign Bryce Harper? Do you buy any of that? Because I don't. I think it's all crap.
No, I feel like they're potentially the same player, and that you might have a edge up with Giancarlo than with Harper.
Well, I guess the only difference, you know, or maybe the only positive is you would get the left-handed hitting Harper in Yankee Stadium playing one game where, again, you could hit that. So.
With the no trade clause, doesn't it make it difficult? And especially with Giancarlo, I mean, you just left a team that won. You're on a team that just won 100 games. I don't feel like this team is on its way down. Why would you want to leave?
That's the thing. I mean, you know, because like a lot of people were saying, well, you know, if they trade him to the West Coast where he's from, you know, he would probably accept that deal. About the only way I see that happening is if you trade him to the Dodgers, because the A's aren't taking that contract. And let's face it, I'll say it again, Dan, the Angels are 80-82. So I don't think he's going there. You know, and again, I get it. They want to see Bryce Harper. And it was funny because somebody was talking about how, you know, Mickey Mantle was Bryce Harper's idol, which I don't believe because obviously he's way too young. You know, if it was Mickey Jr., I would have bought that one. But there's no way. He might admire Mickey Mantle from the stuff he's seen, but that's not his idol. And how he wants to play center field for the Yankees because that's the team he rooted for growing up. I don't believe that. I just think it's some trying to get over on a story about Bryce Harper coming.
Well, I mean, Bryce is notorious for trolling the media more so than, you know, the cities in question. You know, he knows how the game is played. Well, obviously, the game of baseball, but he knows how it's played on, you know, off the field also. And he knows that anything he says can be, you know, can help, you know, clickbait, as they say.
Yeah, you know, I just kind of laughed when he was, you know, reading this. Then, of course, you know, somebody grabs it, and all of a sudden it's a legitimate story. And it's like, really?
Here's one for you to run with tomorrow in your headline, Big Jack. Bryce Harper does not leave the Nationals because he has a lifetime contract with Under Armour, who is based where? In Washington. And per that contract, he has to stay on. Or to be able to stay with Under Armour, he has to stay in Washington.
So there you go, Steve.
So, I mean, you can... you know, and I get it. You know, maybe he was... You know, maybe he did... Maybe he did root for the Yankees when he was in Vegas. But growing up, I don't think they had MLB Network. We're much older, so I don't know what has it been, like 16 seasons? I don't know that his dad, you know, do we know that his dad was paying for MLB.TV? I doubt it. I don't know their money situation, but, you know, and for a kid like Bryce, knowing what he grew up with, you know, knowing people that are on travel baseball, there isn't a whole lot of time for these kids to be watching any kind of baseball.
Yeah.
You know, especially being on the West Coast, technically, or the Western time zone, how many Yankee games did he really get to watch?
So, yeah, probably when they play the Angels.
You know, maybe the A's.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah. And, you know, as a kid, you gravitate to the popular teams. I mean, of course I grew up watching the Cubs, but I just so happened as for the 8,000th time in seven, how many years have we been doing this? Several. We had the Superstation, the TBS Superstation. And who owned the 90s in baseball? Pretty much the Braves. Even though they didn't win all the World Series that they should have won. But, you know, I was, you know, all the way in for the tomahawk chop and, you know, rooting for the Braves, especially after Maddox went there. And, you know, to see him, John Smoltz, and my mind goes blank on the other guy. Who was the third guy?
Tom Glavine.
Tom Glavine. How could I forget? You know, to watch those three was awesome. And, you know, I used to VCR record the World Series if I wasn't home for some reason.
Yeah, and, you know, this kind of fits into, you know, exactly what you're talking about. It's that time of work. You know, it's that time of year at my work where the Bears are playing well enough that everybody is wearing their Bear stuff. And, you know, like I drive, basically what I drive is a souped-up golf cart at work. And there's a whole department of guys who drive them and move the heavier packages. There's a couple of them that are driving around with Bears flags on theirs, Dan. So, yeah, it's that time of year where the team is doing well enough so we can let everybody know that we're Bears fans. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of Bears jackets and shirts and, you know, hats and stuff that are starting to pop up at work because, you know, out of the three Chicago teams that are rolling right now, the Bears are doing the best. And, you know, that's kind of how it goes. You know, I mean, Bryce Harper was as much a Yankee fan as when I was growing up, you know, in the 70s, and there were people who were Cincinnati Reds fans and Oakland A's fans. Because the Big Red Machine, and then, you know, the A's won, was it two or three in a row, I think?
I thought it was three.
So, yeah, you know, they knew absolutely nothing about, you know, right, you know, they knew absolutely nothing about the team during the regular season or any of that. All they knew is they were winning World Series, so this was a team I liked.
Well,
you know,
to,
when you
to
did,
that fact,
you know, so.
Bryce Harper was a kid when the Yankees won three in a row.
Right.
Was
so
it
98, there you go.
99 and 2000. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know how many Yankee fans there were back then. That, well, yeah, they win. I mean, LeBron James is a Yankee fan because of that. You know,
yeah,
didn't root for his hometown.
No.
So
thanks to him, Cleveland Indians lost the World Series to the Cubs.
Right.
I blame
you know,
it
I mean,
all
he
on
tried,
him.
He tried.
Yeah. But oddly,
so,
for some reason, there are a lot of Clevelanders who are Yankee fans for some reason.
Well, you know, the Indians were bad for a long time. But, you know how it is. Sometimes when you have a bad team, you start to gravitate other places. You know, and they were winning. So, you know, winning, what do they say? Winning cures everything, and it also attracts a fan base. The more you win, the better, you know, the better things go for you.
I like how you put that, though. I like how you phrase that. Attracts a fan base.
Yeah.
You didn't use the other grumpy old man and get off bandwagon jumpers.
You can even look at it. How many more Cub fans are there now these last few years than there were when this rebuild started and they lost, 300 games in three seasons?
Oh, yeah. Well, my mother-in-law's boyfriend, the Hawk, for example, was White Sox, especially, I met them. I started dating, my wife when the White Sox went to the World Series. And the Hawk was White Sox, White Sox, White Sox. And then all of a sudden, the Cubs, 2015. Oh, no, I've always been a fan of both. I'm like, both? I've known you for almost 10 years now, and you've never done anything Cubs. And you made comments anytime I wore my Giants or, wore anything other than the Cubs. And you had all these comments, and then he's busting out. And then, my mother-in-law, no, he's always been both. I'm like, no, you can't be both. I'm not a White Sox fan. I enjoy the product, though.
As big as a hard time as we give Mr. Fantasy, he's never changed his allegiance. Even as bad as that team is, he's still a White Sox fan. So.
Well, I had a friend on Facebook who said, I know, all kidding aside, I really don't want the Cubs to win the World Series. I'm a White Sox fan my whole life, and they suck, and I hope they lose. And I commented very politely and said, I have more respect for you now. At least you're staying true to it, more respect. But I'll be
obviously there's, a lot of people who, will, just all of a sudden, like Dan said, they're magically a fan of this. And I go through this a lot where I work. It's quite humorous. You can always tell whatever the popular Chicago sports team is, because that's where everything comes out. When the Blackhawks were good, there were guys who didn't know anything about hockey that were, pulling out Blackhawks gear and, all this other kind of, all this other kind of goofy stuff that, goes on, or, Bulls and, the Bulls start playing good. But yeah, like I said, now it's all Bears, that's all it's been, is they're the team. 'Cause I think technically aren't they technically in first place right now? As far as standings go, are they in first place? Or are they tied for first place? So yeah, you're going to get a lot of, even though it's probably a year early for this team. I did expect them to be better than, they were last year. I honestly figured 8-8. So, that's kind of where I figured they would end up, and we'll see. Where they go now. I think they have another really winnable game this week, home against Detroit. So we'll see where are the National Football Conference standings. I got the American first. That kind of threw me off there. Here we go. Yeah, Chicago is actually 5-3. They're in first place by percentage points over the Vikings, who are 5-3-1, because they have that goofy tie. The Packers are 3-4-1, and then Detroit's at the bottom of the division at 3-5. So yeah, that's how it's looking for them. The way it's going, if they want to be a playoff team this year, they're probably going to have to win the division. Because there are two wild cards, so maybe they could hang on for the second one, but not a lot of success there. And going up against the, maybe they could get lucky and draw the Redskins, but they would probably get stuck with whoever ends up with the worst record, but New Orleans or Carolina, or New Orleans or the Rams, and I don't think they're beating either one of those teams. So, yeah, that could be, at least they'd be a playoff team, but it would be a quick out. So, we'll have to see how it works for them. But yeah, you know, like I said, it's a better season. You know, I had them 8-8. I really thought they would just be 8-8 all along. And you know, we'll see if people stay on the bandwagon or if they go away. Who knows?
Hey, I told you I'm on the bandwagon every year now that the local pizza place gives you $3 credit for every win.
So, now you know, Dan, this was something I wanted to ask you about because I was trying to figure out if it was, I don't want to say legal. I guess I want to say within the rules. I don't know if you caught this story, but they're saying that LaMelo Ball is making a plan to return to high school basketball.
Yeah.
Now, right, that's what I thought too. They're saying he's going to enroll at something called Spire Institute Prep School in Geneva, Ohio. Now, it does say here that they'll only play against other top prep schools, so maybe that's why he's going to be allowed, because while high school, it's not high school. It's a charter school, I guess you would describe it as.
Yeah, I guess that's the only way it works, because, I mean, it can't be, because technically he's a professional. He's lost his quote-unquote amateur status. So would be clubs. Those would be clubs and not, you know, technically competitive.
Yeah, because I know, you know, like he won't be able to go to college. You know, he may be able to finish up, you know, whatever eligibility he's got here, but yeah, he can't go to an NCAA school. So,
well, no, I don't even think he can go to junior college and play ball.
Yeah.
NCAA or not, I don't even think he can go to junior college and play basketball. He can coach.
Yeah. Yeah, like they're saying here that he's looking to enter the 2020 NBA draft. So I don't know what his plans are next year.
Well, next year he should be able to join that. You know, if he plays well enough in this prep league, he should be able to qualify for that G League thing you were talking about last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but that's if they'll sign him, right?
Yeah, there's that part too. Well, I mean, even if he doesn't get into that situation, well, you know, when I looked into the G League thing, because they're, you know, they're open tryouts, especially if you're over 19 or whatever, you know, whatever that qualifying age is, it's, you know, it'd be peanuts for whatever LeVar to put on. So I think it's like $500 application fee to try out for the G League. So if he's as good as he thinks he is, he shouldn't have a problem making the G League next year.
Yeah, you know, and then your guy Jello actually has been informing G League teams that he's going to join their free agent pool. So he will be, you know, eligible to sign with any G League team, I guess, is how it works. So, yeah, I don't know if that's a big deal or not, but so.
You know, I mean, good luck, but I think the best thing for them is if they're able to, well, you know, LeVar isn't making all the news anymore, so, you know, I don't know if it's necessary to distance themselves from their dad at all, but, you know, it's they need to just focus on the game.
Yeah, because, you know, remember at one point in time they were saying LaMelo was the best of the three brothers, and he was, you know, he was looking like he was going to have a big-time NBA career, and then they screwed it all up,
yeah,
you know, by dropping out school and, you know, daddy not being able to conform to what the actual rules are, even though these rules are there for a reason. And, you know, just all the BS he pulled, I think, hurt him more than anything. You know, and it was stupid for LiAngelo to drop out. Everybody knew he wasn't NBA ready. That was just incredibly stupid on LeVar's part for orchestrating that. He should have ate his suspension, played as many games as he could have played, and he really should be back at UCLA right now playing college basketball if he wanted that NBA career.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't a star in this whole, well, you know, the Lakers are going to, you know, the Lakers are going to draft him. He's going to play with Lonzo. Yeah, no, not happening. So, you know, just like Lonzo, well, Lonzo will leave the Lakers. Yeah, he's got a contract, idiot. You just can't do that. So, you know.
You're going to play in Europe.
Yeah.
China.
Yeah. Just, it's like, great, here you go. You know, stop, please stop being stupid. That's all I ask. Just don't be stupid. So, but yeah, you know, damn a, little, I guess you'd have to call it a surprise here locally, on the ice, the Blackhawks fired Joe Quenneville today. You know, I know they're 6-6-3, and, you know, as the story goes, well, they wouldn't make the playoffs right now, which is how you got to kind of base things. You know, the team really has been going down. You know, they didn't make the playoffs last year. They went out in the first round. They went out in the first round the 2 years before that. You know, the old saying is you can't fire the players, but I you know, at this point in time, it kind of seems like the team is what it is, right? I mean, is a coaching change going to make them better?
Well, you know, and it's interesting because Bowman's the one, you know, I read some of the comments he made, but Chu isn't the one who signed Taves and Kane to 10-year contracts.
Right. Yeah, the general manager.
Yeah. Oh, is Bowman not the general manager? He's the president of hockey operations?
Yeah, I don't remember what their titles are. You know, they come up with things. And, and now, you know, they cleared off the whole back of the bench. Not only is Quenneville gone, but Kevin Dineen and Ulf Samuelson were also let go. They're being replaced by Jeremy, oh boy, Colleton is what I'm going to go with. Colleton, yeah, it's an O, so Colleton. Just 33 years old, Dan. So they're going really young. You know, again, I don't know if this is good or bad, you know, how it kind of works out, but, you know, basically they let go a coach who won 3 Stanley Cups.
Oh, and I mean, did you see, you know, I know the coaches give or take 10 games plus or minus, but did you see when they posted the, I don't know who sent it out, Facebook, Twitter, NBC, Blackhawks, but just his stat line as a coach for the Blackhawks. You're like,
yeah,
whatever, you know, whatever 30 number he was, I forget what number he was, coach line, you know, they didn't put anyone else, they didn't compare him to anybody else, so I'm assuming he's probably has one of the, if not the best coach for the Blackhawks. So it's interesting that they're making that move, but I mean, they didn't make the playoffs. You know, Taves and Kane, I feel like they peaked. And upon their peak, they got those 10-year contracts. Your hotshot goalie has been all but non-existent, especially last season. So it's, you know, it's kind of a combination. You know, is he losing control of the team? I don't know, because everyone seems to get hurt. And then everyone that was great on this team or was part of the championship teams, where are they now? They're all captains on all the other teams in the East. You know, every team that was in the playoffs last year, one of their key guys was a former Blackhawk. And you're going, wow. And again, that's another thing that's not Quenneville's fault. That's that hard salary cap.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it doesn't matter that it doesn't matter that Rocky is going to Canada and going to start making marijuana infused alcohol, because all the money in the world, they still have a hard cap. Yeah, I had to throw that one in there. I don't know if you heard about that one, but
no, I didn't hear that
since
but
it's legal.
That's fun.
Yeah, since it's all legal in Canada. But I mean, you know, that all the money in the world that they could pump into that team isn't going to change the fact that the salary cap is the way it is. So you've got to wonder if it stays that way or if it's just the, you know, the popularity level of where hockey is. I don't know. To me,
yeah, you know,
25 years ago, the game is a lot easier to understand than it was, you know, 25 years ago with a lot of the rule changes.
Yeah, looking at it, it looks like he is the second winningest Blackhawk coach in history. Billy Ray had 516 wins, but it took him 13 years to get there. Quinville, you know, accrued 452
eight.
In 10 years.
Oh,
it's
so, 10. I thought it was only 8.
Yeah, he started in 2008. Yeah, and he's got 3 Stanley Cups. The only other, let's see, Blackhawk coach to get fifth back in 60-61, so it's nobody we're going to know, Dan.
I mean, it still kills me that this game was played and was, you know, in arenas in the 30s.
Yes.
I didn't.
Yeah, well, actually, the Blackhawks' first season was 1926.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So. But, yeah, you know, just kind of, you know, we'll have to see. And, I get it. You know, the old thing, you can't fire the players. You know, I think the team needed a change, but I just don't know if that helps. You know, sometimes you just need a new voice, don't you?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, and I looked, Dan, and I got roughed up in fantasy hockey last week. I can't get it going with that team. You know, I look like I'm going on a streak, and somebody gets hurt. You know, and then I go downhill, and then I bounce back, and somebody gets hurt. And I just like, you know, I finally got Joe Thornton back, so I'm hoping that helps out. I still have 2 guys on IR. I'm waiting to come back, so I can't get it. I just can't get it this year. It's just, you know, sometimes it's just not your year. I'm starting to get that feeling that it's just not my year in hockey. So.
Yeah, well, maybe it's just the opening and you can kind of cruise in. I'm still doing pretty well. I'm actually doing pretty well in all of them except for NBA, like usual. You know, I won the championship and then haven't gone back since. I can't believe it's
yeah, no,
fifth
season. I'm 13th right now, so I got to get going. I did get off to a good start to this week, so I'm hoping maybe that helps me, and maybe if I have a good week, I can kind of bounce back. But I just, for whatever reason, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, oh, you're hurt, now you're hurt. No, I need you back. But I guess that's hockey, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully, I won't be angry. You know what to do while we're gone. HostRadio.com. Look for that new one tomorrow. Hit the link. Follow me on the Facebook page. But don't forget to click the feed. Just add the HostTime Radio. Oh, excuse me. I'm doing that on Twitter as well if you want to look this up. But hey, if you're going to take one of those to a slide, it's cool when you jump on and do that for all of us. Podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want.
HostRadio.com.